harshness. We'll do text 29 through 33. So together we can do 29 through 32. And responsibly we'll do 33. 29. Ahati vadina sarve muniya kina manasa uchu sankarshanam devam adharmaste krita prabho. Translation. All the sages cried out, "Alas, alas," in great distress. They told Lord Shankarshan, "O master, you have committed an irreligious act." 30. Asya brahmasya sanam datam asma bir yadunandana ayus chatma klalam tavad yavachastram samapyate. O favorite of the Yadus, we gave him the seat of the spiritual master and promised him long life and freedom from physical pain for as long as this sacrifice continues. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Although Ramaharshana was not a Brahmana, having been born of a mixed marriage, he was invested with that status by the assembled sages and thus given the Brahmasana, the seat of the chief officiating priest. 31 and 32. Ajana taiva charatinas twaya brahma vadoyata yogeshvarasya babato namayopi liyamata yajetar brahmahachyaya pavanam loka pavana charisyati bhavaloka sangraho nanya chodita. You have unknowingly killed a Brahmana. Of course, even the injunctions of revealed scripture cannot dictate to you, the Lord of all mystic power. But if by your own free will, nonetheless carry out the prescribed purification of all this slaying of a Brahmana, O purifier of the whole world, people in general will greatly benefit by your example. And 33, responsibly. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Karishe Vada Nirvesham Lokanugraha Kamyaya Niyama Prathame Kalpe Vayan Satu Vidyatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Charisye Vada Nirvesham Lokanugraha Kamyaya Niyama Praktame Palpe Vayan Satu Vidyatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Charisye Vada Nirvesham Lokanugraha Kamyaya Niyama Prathame Kalpe Yavan Satu Vidyatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Charishe Vada Nirvesham Loka Nugraha Kamyaya Niyama Pratame Kalpe Yavam Satu Vidyatam. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Yama Pratame Kase Yavanta Suvidiyata Sri Bhagavan Vacha Charisye Vadane Vesham Lokanugaha Samvaya Niyama Pratame Kalpe Yavan Satu Vidiyata Mother Sri Bhagavan Vacha Charishte Vana Nirvesha Lokanu Vahanyaya Niya Maha Katane Kalpe Yadanta Kirviyata Sri Bhagavan Vacha Charishe Vada Nirvesham Lokanu Gahatam Yaya Niyama Pratame Kalpe Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Lord said, Charishye, I will execute Vada for the killing, Nirvisham, atonement, Loka for the people in general, Anugraha, compassion, Kamyaya, desiring to show, Niyamaha, the regulative injunction, Pratame, in the primary, Kalpe, ritual, Yavan, as much, Saha, that, to, indeed, Vidiyatam, please prescribe. Translation. The Supreme, the Personality of God had said, I will certainly perform the atonement for this killing, since I wish to show compassion to the people in general. Please, therefore, prescribe for me whatever ritual is to be done first. So, at this stage of the Bhagavatam, pretty much Lord Krishna has wrapped up most of his pastimes, at least the pastimes of getting rid of the demons and the demoniac mentality, his last being Dantavakra. He also went to Vrindavan, wind up his pastimes there, send back all the Vrajavasis back to the Lok Vrindavan. The details of this pastime isn't mentioned in the Bhagavatam for particular reasons, as explained by Sanatana Goswami and some of our other authorities. But Lord Balaram still had a little more work to do. And for that reason, unlike Krishna already put down his weapons, Lord Balaram didn't. So this being the last leg of Lord Balaram's chastisement, we've seen that it's being done in a slightly different way than usual when he killed the other demons and gotten rid of the religious personalities and activities. So, as we have nicely heard yesterday from Madam Mohan Prabhu about it, this description and activities of Guru Maharaj in the Sutta, and how he was killed with this kusha grass, it is important to understand that on face of the Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is, some cases it's like extremely brief. So sometimes it can, on just reading it, it can give us incomplete understanding. And that's where guidance and more in-depth knowledge is needed. Like, for example, here it just describes that Lord Balaram came in the assembly at Naimisharanya. All the sages stood up to offer him respect. And but Guru Maharaj and his sister, the chief, he didn't. He just didn't show any respect, per se. And for that reason, Lord Balaram killed him. So one may say, well, for such a thing, why should one be so grossly reactive towards it to do? But if we understand in depth, and in the Sanatana Goswami's book, the Vaishnava Toshini, which is his commentary on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, there are a lot more details of what actually took place. Also, in the Uttarkhand of the Padma Puran, which is written by Veda Vyas himself, there are so much more details of this pastime. So pretty much what happened, just in a little bit of detail, and at the same time in a nutshell, is that the sages, they assembled there, Lord Balaram appeared, many of them, the older sages, they got up, stand up to offer blessings to Lord Balaram and show him respect in that way. Others offered him obeisances. They washed his feet, perform the ritual of worship and respect for such a personality as his status. And all of this, it just didn't happen within, like, you know, a flash of a moment. You know, like someone, some sannyasi come in the temple room, and, you know, everybody just offer obeisances for a minute, and then I sit here with my one leg turning up and just lay back and see what happens. No, it's not like that. It was pretty extensive with the pastime. It all took a long time with all the ritual of welcoming Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, showing so much respect, so much obeisances, worship. So it was quite detailed. Of a reception. It didn't just take like 2 minutes. All the while, the Maharshana Sutta just sat there without showing any reciprocation of respect. So, it's at that point that Lord Balaram, being the Adi Guru, perform the last leg of his destroying of the miscreants of who are promoting irreligious principles. In this case, it's a little different because Guru Maharaj in a sutta. And by the way, like I had a question myself as to the name Guru Maharaj. Many times in the past times, your address is being addressed as Rumaharshana or Rumaharshana Sutta. Well, Sutta means son, so at one point I was kind of confused. Is this the son of Rumaharshana or is it Rumaharshana himself? So basically in this context, Sutta means one who is born from a mixed marriage. So maybe others had the same question, I don't know, but Rumaharshana and Rumaharshana Sutta is the same personality. Sutta just addressed the history of his birth, per se. So anyway, Guru Maharaj in the Sutta, being of a great lineage, being a disciple of Vyasadeva himself, that gave him a lot of credibility. Just like many of us in our society, individually, or I can't say for anyone else but myself, individually I have no good qualities or anything great, but when one hears that I'm connected with the Hare Krishna movement, then immediately there's such a level of respect that's here. So not because of me individually, but because of my connection with this movement, that it immediately gives that credibility. Because, you know, we're connected with Srila Prabhupada, we're connected with Parampara. I remember many years ago, we were in Miami, and I was linked with one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. We were going to embark on a business venture. So we decided we're going to try to do some exporting some products to Guyana. So he picked up the phone, we looked at the Yellow Pages online, and randomly he picked one business name. And so he put it on speakers, and he made an international call from Miami. So he talked to the man, he gave him his name, and he tried to explain what he was about to. And the man wasn't so interesting. He had no interest. So he said, "No, I'm not interested in the home." So then he switched the conversation. This devotee switched the conversation a little bit. He said, "I am a disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta." And the man said, "Oh." And at that point, he became very interested. Yeah, so with all, it was a business venture, but the mere fact that he heard, "Oh, you belong to that lineage of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami." I had no idea that this person even knew, you know, of Srila Prabhupada. So like that, because of the connection, then the greatness automatically descends. So similarly in the personality of Guru Maharshi in the Sutta, because he's connected to Srila Vyasadeva, being his disciple, he automatically gained this great level of respect from all the sages, and thus he was appointed the officiating priest for the ceremony. On the other hand, with all he gained such a popularity, such an elevated position, he was so knowledgeable in all the Vedic scriptures, he failed to absorb that knowledge into his personality. So, you know, he failed to actually put it into realization and act on that level. So that is one symptom of Kali Yuga. We find there are so many people writing and translating Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and so many scriptures, knowing so much philosophy. And like some of these books, there are some people who know it from front page to back page, like that, just like that. But you see in your activities that it's not there, that realization isn't there, that that actual conviction or the proof of all this knowledge is not manifested. And in this personality, Guru Maharshi in the Sutta, that's what happened. That the proof of all this knowledge didn't really manifest, because the whole conclusion of the Vedic scripture, the Siddhanta of Vedic scripture, is to understand Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. That's the whole point of we practicing so much in Krishna consciousness, learning so much philosophy, performing so much activities in devotional service. Kirtans all over, there's so much going on. It's simply to, not simply, but you know, in a sense we can say, simply to come to this conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we have an opportunity where we fail to recognize that, then it's a test for ourselves to see on what level we're on. So that's the whole point here. So when, with all the knowledge of the scripture that he had, when Lord Balaram, the personality of Godhead, came, he didn't recognize. So from Lord Balaram's part is that this is the mentality that has to be gotten rid of. So that's why he did what he did, that he destroyed this kind of a mentality. And of course, we understand that Lord Nityananda, his incarnation coming in Chaitanya's pastime, is a similar thing, that Lord Nityananda was preaching of destroying this demoniac mentality. So the same thing, Lord Balaram set that standard, he started there. So that's why Lord Balaram did what he did, to destroy this kind of mentality so that in the future, you know, there can be some check to it. On the other hand, coming here is that all these sages, they are saying that, alas, Lord Balaram has committed a great crime, you know, the great offense of killing a Brahmana. So I haven't studied enough or discussed the devotees on this, but I personally have a doubt, even to try to understand the situation. They're describing that there are thousands of sages here. They have all come together to appoint the chief officiating priest. So they have all decided to appoint this personality, Ramaharshana Sutta. Now, my question would be is that they were so qualified, is that why is it that they didn't recognize that this personality didn't have all the proper qualities of being there? Or when, what conclusion did they come to say that Lord Balaram has committed a great offense? Is that how can they come to that conclusion? Well, my doubt is probably they themselves don't have like the complete understanding of the Vedic scriptures. I mean, just something I thought I'd throw out there, maybe at the end we can have some discussion. Because we would expect to understand that with great personalities, they understand the conclusion, they can understand situations in depth, circumstances in depth, so that can understand the activities of the personality of Godhead. However, with this being said, with this, the Brahmanas coming down on Lord Balaram's case, all these sages, Lord Balaram didn't say, well, hey, you know, who are you to instruct me? I know there's one of my sister-in-law, she had this philosophy. Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to instruct me like that? So, but Lord Balaram didn't take it that way. You know, he see that these are the sages, this is another really great principle that's set down for our standard in Krishna consciousness, that these are the sages who are supposed to be the authorities of the Vedic scriptures. They are telling me that I have done a great wrong. With all, I am above the Vedic scriptures, I am above the law, I am the one who sets these principles. Still, I would follow their advice, I would not become antagonistic towards them, I would reciprocate by following their instructions, by setting the standards so that others can follow. So even like a little bit ago, you even find, even with Lord Krishna, he was in Dwarka, wanted to go back to Vraja, but he couldn't because his parents, Vasudev and Devaki, would not give him permission. You know, he's the independent personality, he can do whatever he wants, but he stayed within the realm of authority. Just like Duryodhan, we have in the Mahabharata, there are many, many instances where he wanted to perform his wicked deeds to get after the Pandavas, to try to destroy them, to try to get his way. But he would not do it independently without the sanction of his father, who was the king. He would create all different schemes to present to his father and to try to seek that permission before he go. So that's one sign of cultured life. So here Lord Balaram is also setting that standard of cultured life. Here that okay, the sages, they're saying that this is bad, therefore I accept it. With all, he is the personality of Godhead. So even if one in authority may do something that is not completely perfect according to scripture, still, because of their position and dedication, it should be accepted. For example, within our society or let's say within our temple here of management, our temple management may make a decision that some of us may see that it's wrong or it's not quite appropriate. But if it's not something that is very gross, then it's okay to go along with it because they are taking so much responsibility. They are taking on the entire charge of seeing the entire aspect of this, the management goes on nicely. So if something has to be, you know, shifted a little bit, there is really nothing wrong with it. So similarly here with in the case of Lord Balaram and the killing of Rumaharsha and his sister, the sages are saying that you must atone for this. You must do it. And of course they're saying that by his free will, if he wants to. So they're making a recommendation and Lord Balaram is reciprocating. So this is a nice lesson for us, living amongst other devotees, amongst other nationalities, this kind of influx. So it's nice to see these examples and following these footsteps. It's very instructive for us. Earlier, like in the Mahabharata also, you had the pastime of with Arjuna and Krishna. One Brahmana came and knocking on Arjuna's gate that, hey, you know, you're doing something wrong, you're not living up to religious standards. So Arjuna was shocked. Why is it that you're saying that? You know, that they are living pretty much to the T, to the letter of religious standards. And he said, the reason why I'm saying that is because my son has passed away before me. And the only reason that can be is because the management is not living up to religious standards. So Kali is infiltrating. So Arjuna, being a big Kshatriya and a big king, he didn't say, who is this little, you know, Brahmana come knocking on my gate and criticizing me. He immediately went, you know, see Krishna's help, and they went to rectify that situation. He got back the Brahmana's son. So like that is the principle that to be followed in following the Vedic scriptures that is so very important to us. Despite our standing in Krishna consciousness or our standing in spiritual life, in whatever level we are on, respect for the standard of the scriptures is what is so very important. And that brings about a standard that others can follow. Even sometimes in our activities, you know, we see that sometimes these things happen. I remember one year in New York, we were there for Rath Yatra, and one devotee, I think he was one of the sannyasis, at the end of the parade, when you go to that park, at the end of the festival, then we know that there's so much garbage all over. So this one devotee, he picked up the mic and he said, I'm requesting every devotee to grab your garbage bags, including the sannyasis and all the gurus who are here, pick up the garbage bags and let's clean up this entire park. So immediately we saw about 7 or 8 sannyasis grabbing garbage bags and start picking up garbage and everyone starts following. So on face we can say, well, you know, we shouldn't be having that happening. You know, that one shouldn't ask a sannyasi to do something like that. But what they're doing, that in principle of our movement to create like a nice atmosphere, a nice repetition for a society, that at the end of the festival, everything should be spotlessly clean. So we can see things from both sides. So the standard here is to get things in order, whether it's being done by someone above the level or below the level. So in this case with Lord Balaram, he presented, he did what he had to do as to get rid of the last miscreant to wrap up his pastime. And then the sages says, well, okay, you have done something wrong, you need to atone for this. And he simply followed along. He simply, just so that others can, for one, can have the proper example to follow. And also out of respect for the upholder of the scriptures, which are the Brahmanas and saints and sages. So he respect that system, and he functions within that system also. Lord Krishna did the same thing. He functioned within that system, which pretty much we understand you're not obligated to. But to function within the system is what makes and brings about the great harmony of our standards in Krishna consciousness, in the scriptures, and everything else. So that's like a great asset. And that's a standard and of example that Lord Balaram is setting here. So I would like to stop here if anyone has any comments or questions, or if anyone can also discuss this point earlier as to the qualification of these sages to understand or misunderstand Lord Balaram. Sri Ram Prabhu?
Maybe both. I missed some of the topic. What was Maharshanath doing under Vyasa? What was he teaching the sage or something?
He was the officiating priest for the ceremony.
For a ceremony.
Yeah.
Okay. So the sutta class, they disseminate like knowledge from the Puranas and they know all these kind of things. But it's not like they're the foremost of sages or they're, you know, but he might be the foremost of the sutta class. So that's why they chose him, or you know. But you know, it's just like singing, you know. You might have a really wonderful singer, a talented singer or whatever, but it's not like he is the most devoted person, you know, in the community. Yeah. But you know, so the sutta class from Maharshan, he was the foremost of the suttas. You see, okay. He knows all the histories of the Puranas and Itihasas and so forth. And so he's chosen to recite that. But in terms of being humble and being realized and stuff, there's nothing like that. No? But you know, so this is a technical thing really, but I mean, it seems that they ought to know also. They ought to know the Supreme Lord is here, you know. I mean, that's the purpose for knowing all these things, you know. The Supreme is here.
Yeah, that was my point, is that the whole point of the scriptures is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if one misses that point, then it's definitely a great loss. Yeah.
Well, actually, this point is explaining that following verses in 1078, 31, and 32. What the sages are saying is that even the injunctions of revealed scripture cannot dictate to you the Lord of all mystic power. So they recognize Balaram's position. All the sages know, except Brahmaharshan. But if by your own free will, so they're saying, if by your own free will you carry out the prescribed purification for slaying this Brahmin, people in general will greatly benefit by your example. So I think this is a beautiful pastime. What's happening here is that the integrity of the scriptures has to be protected.
Yeah.
The integrity of the Brahmin's position in society has to be protected. But at the same time, those Brahmins that Vishwanath Chakravarti calls it Dambha, people who pretend that they are elevated, but they are actually carrying out sinful activities. Those Brahmins have to be deposed. So Balaram did that, but in doing so, there are consequences in the sense that now, well, everybody's going to go after Brahmins because Lord Balaram did it. Mm-hmm. So then it became, you know, Yadyad Acharati Sreshtha, Tattvati Vitarajana. But not everybody is Sreshtha, not everybody can decide whether a Brahmin is fallen or elevated. Balaram can, because he is the supreme super soul. So that's why immediately there is a follow-up where he immediately subordinates himself to the Brahmin's wishes, the rest of the sages, and seeks atonement, even though Krishna doesn't have anything to do with punya and pap. Nada teka sichit papam, he explains the Bhagavad Gita, is above all this. Namam karmani vimpanti, sin and this doesn't touch me. So that's what's going on here. That people don't become this licentious and destroy the Vedic system by criticizing Brahmins when they are not in a position to judge. But the Lord can judge and he can show that what is necessary in a Brahmin. And that is, ultimate necessity is the lack of Dambha. Do not pretend to be more than what you are. And can make a show of religious pride to get followers. That's how I see this.
Yeah, well, like coming back to the beginning of your point here, that where you quoted that, you know, the sage is just saying that by your will, if you will, then you can atone for it. But in the first verse, 29, they directly criticize him. You know, the Brahmins. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that it started as a direct criticism of the Lord that, oh, you have committed a great religious act. So that's where it started. And then they qualify that statement that, okay, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have your own free will. If you wish to, then you can set this example and go like that. So the point is that, you know, it started from there that the sages, of course, they first show that they recognize Lord Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they perform the worship, they welcome, and the entire process prior to this. So they prove their qualification. And then they're saying, well, okay, now if by your free will, you can do this so that you can have a proper example for society in general. So, yes, sir, you know, we do really appreciate your time. Yeah. This one devotee here, then we can go there.
Well, I got it.
Yeah.
You don't mind.
Okay. No, that's okay. What I'm saying. You for sure. Okay.
Srivana brought up an interesting point. It doesn't sound, you know, historically, it doesn't sound like they chose Sukha Goswami to play the same sort of role that Sukadeva Goswami did eventually play. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's an officiating priest is just sort of the, giving this account, you know, kind of just officiating this. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that he acted like, well, putting him in treatment, you're such a jerk. You know, that really shook up the whole assembly, but then they were in the right frame of mind to choose someone like that. They actually took their whole motivation and aspiration for that assembly to a whole nother level and chose Sukadeva Goswami to speak to them about a far more profound topic than perhaps was the initial goal of that assembly. I'm throwing that out there.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to leave one with you. This is Matthew over here. Mother Ruchira.
Isn't in Krishna book, Prabhupada describes that because he wouldn't show respect to Lord Balaram, then Lord Balaram saw his past birth, which you kind of mentioned, that he was born from a Brahmin mother and a
Kshatriya father.
Yeah. So then Prabhupada explained how because of his pride and he created an offense to Lord Balaram. And then he was killed. And then the sages were upset because they had, while installing him in his position, they had given him the benediction that he would have a long life. But the life was cut short by Lord Balaram. So then they were in perplexity. Now what? Now what do we do? And then Prabhupada said, then they put his son as the priest there.
So that's the whole thing with Lord Balaram, to uphold, you know, as the personality of God, at one reciprocation he has with his devotees, or in this case the sages, is uphold their word. Just like with on the battlefield with Arjuna, he made a promise that by the end of sunset he's going to kill Jayadrath, who is the one that caused the death of his son, Abhimanyu. So with that, Krishna even did some things, even break his own vows, did some things to make that happen, just uphold his devotee's word. Also in the past, when he was fighting Bhishma Dev, Krishna promised that he would not pick up any weapons. But when Arjuna was disheartened due to his affection for Bhishma Dev, he wasn't fighting with all the vigor and zeal, then Lord Krishna himself broke his own vow when he picked up the chariot wheel, was getting after Bhishma. So like that, the personality of Godhead, in his reciprocation and affection for his devotees, would sometimes break his own vows just to uphold that of his devotees. So in this case, to uphold that of the sages, Lord Balaram, you know, did all, you know, these things so that just that the sages says, well, okay, we had promised him long life. Now, please, as you continue in this pastime here, you would understand, and Srila Prabhupada explains in this same chapter of Krishna, which by the way happened to be chapter 77, as against 78 here. I just don't know how that came about, but they ask Lord Balaram to please do what is true so that your actions can be true, our words can be true, and everything, the scriptures can be upheld. So just like again in the past time in the Mahabharata with the son of Dronacharya, what is his name? Ashwatthama. When Bhima said Ashwatthama should be killed after he killed all the sons of Draupadi. Then they concluded, okay, Arjuna, use your intelligence and do what it is so that he be killed, at the same time his life be spared according to Draupadi's will, and everything be taken care of. So that's when he shaved his head off and, disrespect him in that way, which is as good as death for a Kshatriya. So in this case, Ramaharshana Sutta, Lord Balaram put everything into place that, okay, I'm going to uphold your word that he lives a long life because the son lives in the image of the father. The son living is just like the father living. So then he gave him, his son, the position of head priest. He gave him the position and gave him all the knowledge that he can officiate in the proper way and gave him a lot of help and strength. So like that, Lord Balaram uphold the Brahmana's words that Ramaharshana Sutta be given a long life. So that's also upheld in the eyes of scripture and higher understanding. I hope that answers. Anything else? Or I guess you can. Yes, Prabhu.
I came late. I was just reading. Someone unknowingly killed someone. Is he responsible for that karma?
Yes. Yes, he is responsible. According to scripture, yeah, he is responsible because animals don't have reaction to their activities. Humans do because humans have intelligence. So they are responsible. Just like if you have a fire and you have an adult go and stick his finger in the fire, knowing that fire would burn, he would get burned. A little child has no knowledge that a fire would burn him, but he still stick his finger in there. What happens? He still gets the same amount of intensity of burn that the adult gets. So, because we have knowledge. We have, and scripture says that human beings, they get reactions to those things because they're supposed to know better.
Yeah, but this is unknowingly.
Even if it's unknowingly, yeah. If it's unknowingly, the reaction is still there. Because just like you're driving on the road, you may not know that, okay, the speed limit here is 45 miles per hour. The last sign you recognized was 55, and you're driving at 55, the police stop, you give you a ticket. You tell the officer, well, I didn't know, I just saw this sign, says 55. He says, no, here is 45, you're going to get a ticket anyway. Knowingly or unknowingly, you get a reaction for it. So, in other words, you're supposed to know. I remember that's how I got my last ticket in 1998. You know, so...
You drive in and someone dashes across the road. You hit him. You know, something like that.
Yeah. If you dash across, you hit him, what happens? Your insurance still goes up. You still have to pay the bills. You still get charges. Everything
part.
Is still there.
Forget about that part. I'm speaking about the karmic part.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. The karma is still there. So in this case, you're talking about physical circumstances. The reaction to these activities is that, okay, I unknowingly hit him. Does that mean that my car shouldn't be messed up? Does that mean that I don't have to be responsible for the bills? That my insurance doesn't go up? No, it still happens. Whether you're awake or you're asleep, you're conscious, you're not conscious, it's still there. Madam Mohan Prabhu?
Yeah. That's why the speed limit went down. Because you're entering a place where people are. So... now you have to drive a little slower, so you have reaction time that 15 miles.
Yeah.
So it's not just that you're speeding. The speeding is arbitrarily set. It's set because there's reasons for the speeding.
So anyway, but whatever the case may be, your reaction would be there. That's like the bottom line.
Yeah.
Anyway, This last point here. Yeah.
It's very unfortunate that this is the last day for us. Because you know that is how it is.
Yeah, well, that's the way things go down sometimes, unfortunately. But for a higher purpose, because the whole Bhagavatam is, you have to see it as a whole big picture, not only an individual circumstance. And the whole big picture of the Bhagavatam is to bring everyone to the pure spiritual platform. Thank you very much. Human Bhagavatam.